Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
Happy Friday. I hope you have had or already have had the most amazing week. Thank you for tuning in to Conversations with Toy. I am Toy, the podcaster. I am also a blogger, content creator, freelance writer, all kinds of things. And I am so grateful to have you here on this podcast. I don't believe that things just simply happen. So if you were brought to this podcast, I hope that you get something from it, a chuckle, a laugh, a cry, just to be heard or seen, whatever it is. If this is your first time tuning in, I appreciate you. I want you to stick around. Listen, we have 10 seasons, so many episodes talking about mental health and wellness, my own personal journey with it, other people's journey with it. Listen, you're not alone. I know in a world where it's okay now to talk about mental health and talk about anxiety and talk about depression, it still can feel like you're by yourself because you'll say, well, my symptoms and the way that it comes out for me doesn't look like it does for some other people. It's not going to, but I do want you to know that you are seen and I want you to know that you are not alone because one of the biggest things that can happen when you're having a mental health episode is to feel isolated, right? You could be the only one in your house that's going through this. You could be the only one that's demonstrating these different attributes outwardly, and it does feel debilitating. When I talked about my postpartum depression, one of the first episodes that I've done for the podcast, and I talked about how like my friends and some of my family members would see me having one of these episodic moments. This is when I was deep into this postpartum depression, and it was almost like an outer body experience. Like I could see it happening. I kept telling myself, don't let it happen, you know, calm yourself, control yourself. And it didn't happen. And so my friends would go home and they're talking about what I was going through, right? They're talking about it. It's a kiki. It's a laugh. You know, that girl's crazy. She don't know how to act. All kinds of different things. And here I was literally drowning emotionally, mentally, and even somewhat physically. Now it's amazing how some of those same people have gone on to have their own children and realize that how much your emotions are pulled when you have a child, right? And when if you're dealing with postpartum, mine was more on the side of the more extreme side. Not that I was harming my kids or even had a desire to, but it was definitely more on the extreme side than a lot of people's, right? But again, I felt isolated for years because not even I understood it. And as many people who talked about it, my God, you know, I feel like sometimes when I'm around people, even though I've healed or I'm healing from those moments, I still feel like there are times when I'll like sit amongst people and I know that they know like the things that they've seen that I've done. And I feel like I'm going to be the butt of the joke. How do I show up? How do I show up feeling that way? One, if I really feel that way about certain people, I don't even go around them. I need you to hear me again. I am going to protect my peace at all costs, so I'm not going around them. There are some who took the kikis and the laugh of what I was going through and took it to another level, so I took it to another level, a level of protecting my peace. I made sure I took care of me. I made sure I took care of the things that concern me. If my mental health is not at a place where I can be around certain people, I don't even go. I will find a way to get out of it. I just say, no, I'm not coming because we're grown now. We don't even have to make an excuse. At the end of the day, I just don't allow anybody around me or I don't go around anybody that's going to protect my peace. I am very particular about people who come into my home because, again, this is where our battleground is. We got people in our home that are dealing with mental health issues. And what I will never allow is for them to have a situation happen and this spirit to pop up. Listen, I get it. Black folks been trying to do that. I was in the neighborhood. I just in the neighborhood, child. What you doing? What you cooking, girl? What you got? Don't do that for me. Not at this house. Because we are one busy. Our household is very busy. All three of my kids seem like they are booked and busy. I am booked and busy. My husband is doing the thing that he needs to do. We are never usually home. So for people just to do the spirit to pop up, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Number one. Number two, I don't do pop-ups because one, my anxiety cannot contain that. You popping up talking about I was just in the neighborhood. You were in a neighborhood lie. There is no one that lives in my neighborhood, not family and or friend, that lives in my neighborhood. Let me say that one more time. There are no family and there are no friends who just happen to live in my neighborhood to do the spirit of pop-up. So if you came over here, you came over here intentionally. Right? Whether you were like, well, I ain't so far away. I could just, you still came over here intentionally. And I need you to be intentional and saying, hey, is this a good time for us to stop by for a visit? One, because that is the same common courtesy that I would give other people. The only people that I pop up on, that I could pop up on at any given time, is going to be either my besties or my parents. I wouldn't even pop up on my siblings like that. I would call and give a common courtesy, okay? But when it comes to my house, I am very particular because people just be, listen, I don't understand the concept. Folks be popping up and they'll never have nothing. You'll never come with a bottle. You seem to always come around when the food is getting done. Dinner time is here. You just, the spirit of pop-up just comes on your life. God just told you, hey, let's just go over there and take it. No. You always coming over at dinner time. You don't never have a bottle, but you want to drink. You don't never bring anything, but you want to eat. Nah, nah, nah. Let me know you coming. Let me make sure my schedule is clear because we literally are in a two-car family that feels like we need a third car and a third driver, and we don't have that. So my husband and I are literally battling between who's taking what kid where. We are busy, and I would love you to respect my space and respect the peace that flows very freely in this house. Very freely, we do our job to make sure we can keep this house as the most peaceful level because my children in the house where they're comfortable at, they deserve that. I deserve that. My husband deserves that. So we're going to do the call. Hey, what you doing? Hey, is it okay if I stop by? And if I say, no, it's not a good time, we don't have to give an excuse. We're not giving excuses of we ain't going to be home or we ain't. No, no, no. We're not home. Or we are home, but we're not accepting any visitors today. We got some things we're working on. Okay. Just a no. Because when I finally got to the realization that I was grown, I don't got to lie, Craig. I'm just going to go ahead and put out there that I'm not accepting visitors because that's not what I'm doing. Okay? So let's continue on with this podcast because I could literally spend a whole conversation just about the different times that different situation has happened in the midst of my mental health. And I will probably do that, but today ain't that episode. Now, let's just put this out there. Normally, I talk about the episode and then I go into the what's happening in these internet streets, but we can't even begin to start or even talk about this podcast until we go ahead and get it out in the air. Yes, P. Diddy is out here doing the things that P. Diddy is doing. That man is out here being a shame, a little shame to his family. And it's not even funny. You know what's interesting? Honestly, I really do believe that this situation is way bigger than what we think that it is. I was on Twitter. You know, Black Twitter is a wonderful spot. And if you don't know what Black Twitter is, it's the same Twitter. However, when the Black folks come together, it's like we have a delegation and we say, hey, let's have a conversation about our own and our people. And so what I am noticing when I got on Twitter before I did this episode, there was a heaviness. There was a video that I watched and it came with a heaviness. And in my spirit, I feel like, honestly, this whole Diddy thing is way larger than anything that we ever could possibly think of. The reason why I say that is because at the end of the day, I feel like the players that are playing their part in this, the folks who are involved in this, it's just way bigger than we could just even imagine. And I am really praying for, one, those who have been hurt by this, those who have been struggling with whatever part that Diddy has done to them or others have done, because allegedly there's a lot more names that's going to be thrown around other than Diddy. And some of our faves, some of my faves, names is going to be dropped. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be very vigilant in saying if any of my faves are dropped, they just dropped. The names get dropped, they're dropped. I'm not going to be like, well, I love them so much that I'm just going to look past it and see the need. That's God's job. That ain't my job. You know how when you was in church and they would say, God looked past my faults and saw the need? That's Jesus. That's not me. If they drop, I'm going to be like, Lord, if it's true, Jesus, then, you know, that's just who it is. And I just got to accept that my fave is raggedy. I'm going to have to accept that my fave is doing the absolute most. Because what else am I going to do? Like, what else can I do? I ain't going to sit there and lie. I ain't going to sit there and be like, not my favorite. No, no, not I. Not I. So this Diddy situation is majorly big. Some of these leaked videos and leaked audios that I heard, I pray that they're not true, but it's giving real. It's giving clarity. It's giving. And one of the Philadelphia rappers, again, all allegedly, because I don't need nobody coming for my coin. But what I will say is, I don't know who's putting these videos on Twitter, and I don't know who's posting this stuff and or where it came from or how valid it is. All I know is it's very damaging to see some things that's been popping up on that Twitter. So we'll just see how this unfolds. I'm sure I'm recording this in real time, and I'm quite sure by the time you guys listen to this, there'll be more foolishness and foolery that will come about. And so the only thing I can do is begin to pray for the victims, begin to pray for those involved, because the heaviness that I felt after I watched that video on Twitter was just very telling. And the biggest things about this whole situation is Diddy's kids too. And they're not the bigger thing. They're not bigger than the victims before y'all start coming for me. I can't believe you would say that. No, I'm always about here. I'm always going to support victims. But what I will say is this, especially for the twins, their mother passed. And now they daddy down here doing all kind of debauchery that's going to then expose them, have their friends talking about them. Listen, my daughter is in high school. Them young ladies, I believe, are in high school. And to know that things like this happening, the kids are not going, they're going to be so relentless, so relentless. And this is a touchy time for them at this age. Like when you're a teenager and you're starting to develop your own thought process and what you want to believe in and all these different things in your body and all these things and friendship and socialization, this is a weird time. This is a weird time for them. And I believe their oldest sister too, Chance, all of this stuff is sheer madness to me. So I pray for all those involved, but this is way bigger than I believe any of us had the mental capacity. I think there's going to become a time where we're just going to continuously hear this. It's going to be so much that we're going to hear from the situation. So I say all that to say is that just Diddy's situation, Kim, it looks like it's completely far from over. You know, having his house raided and doing all these different things, it's far from over. So, you know, let's see what happens with that. It is Easter weekend, y'all. Happy Good Friday and all the things that come along with that. As a PK, I must say this is one of the biggest days of the holy season of Holy Week. Between today and Easter, listen, I need to go dust off my church hat, my mother of the church hat, because that's just what I feel like I need to do. However, because it is Easter weekend and all the beautiful things that come along with that, you're going to see girls, mamas doing the girls' hair with the hot combs and all the things. Even my girls, they getting their hair done too, but they was already scheduled. They needed their hair done to stay on their schedule. But I love this time as a kid growing up because, you know, when you get the new outfits and the patent leather shoes and all that stuff. And shout out to Payless. They need to bring that back. Let me tell you, my whole spirit broke when Payless shut down because that used to be the place where I would go get my kids some good quality shoes that didn't cost me an arm, leg, and blood. And in addition to that, you knew that the shoes may not last, but you could always go back and get another pair. For instance, like with these kids' school shoes, school shoes is running $100. Honestly, I probably should have paid for them 3 more times just because the way my kids run a shoe down. And I honestly cannot wait for them to switch over to their spring uniform because that means they can wear sneakers. I'm over these shoes that they had to wear for school. But if Payless had been involved, we could have got them there for cheap. They would have been a decent shoe if they broke down. You ain't care about having to go spend another $30 for another pair. But Payless is no longer. And my whole spirit weeps. I think Payless was gone before I even had my third child. Like my 2 older kids, they definitely had them some Payless shoes. I didn't have no problem with it. But I remember growing up thinking that we were like, I don't know why I thought we were like poor, because I was like, how come we can't get like name brand shoes? And now that I'm a parent, I know why. 3 kids, 3 things of shoes. They wasn't doing all that. Now we do that. Our financial situation is completely different from my parents, 1,000%. Just one of us as a parent, as an individual, is probably better as having more resources than my parents did. So it's easy for us to do things. But I'm also a coupon girly. Like I will find a coupon. We're going to get the buy one, get 50% off, and you get a sneaker, you get a sandal. That's just how we roll. But Easter season is here. Bring out and check out all the hot combs. That's about to go to the necks of all the children to get them nice and ready for the Easter Sunday service. Personally, I don't know if we're going to go to service on Sunday. I do know we're visiting family, and we might go. We might go and then just go from there and go visit family. I'm not sure. We have not made up our mind. We also can go Saturday night and let that count for Sunday. I'm not sure yet. Not sure. I'll, maybe let you know next week's episode. Not sure. But now that we are in the Easter weekend, there are a couple of things that we must discuss. One, I wrote a blog piece, and I will put this in the show notes, about Easter and how these big holidays, they pull and tug on you when you don't have a solidified relationship with family and friends. So if you are going no contact for another holiday, because every time a holiday comes up, this, you feel that uneasiness because you've gone no contact. And although going no contact was for your mental health and your peace and all those different things, it doesn't, people think that you just go no contact and it's just good. You're just good to go because you made the decision, but your heart breaks because you feel like you shouldn't have to go no contact. Why do people go no contact? I'll place that in the episode show notes as well, because I talk a whole episode about why people go no contact. There are 1,001 ways. But the biggest thing is to protect their peace. You have people who habitually, do things to dishonor you and themselves. They are disrespectful to the core. And everybody don't have the patience to deal with that. I am not a fan of that's still your mama, that's your daddy, that's still your auntie, that's still all these different things. Because what that says is, yes, I know they were wrong, but you got to still show them respect. Showing respect from afar is cool. Asking me to swallow what my pain and hurt and reverence their title is another thing. And that's something in 2024, in the year of our Lord, we're not going to do. And the reason is very clear. It's not that you don't respect people, but people want to bypass bad behavior and act as if they get some type of like, well, it's okay. They're just doing what they know to do, or they've always been like that. When you start using the word always, which I am very clear, even when I'm talking to my husband, we're in the middle of an argument. One of the words that we learned in marriage counseling was to stop saying always. If you say you never, or always and never, you always do such and such, when we know it's not necessarily always, it's just that we're trying to emphasize how many times somebody did something. When you use the word always, you are basically saying, this is it. This is what they've done. And so there is no wiggle room. There is wiggle room. If you love and respect somebody, you will have some wiggle room. The same wiggle room that they want me to give to other people, I need to people to run that back. But since we know people be people-ing, they're not going to do that. So for Easter, if you are having an issue where you are going no contact or are thinking about going no contact, that is a personal decision. You are going to hear people tell you that that is your auntie, that's your mama, that's your daddy and them, that's your grandparents. You need to show them some respect. You need to show them some love. They didn't know no better. These are all what we like to call excuses. They're excuses. They're excuses for the bad behavior that they continue to perpetuate. Does anybody not recognize the fact that normally when that is used, it's because the person on the other end just didn't want to do the work? The other person didn't want to do the work to correct their behavior. And oftentimes they don't even feel like they have to. Well, that's just the way I am. The second you say that's the way I am, you are demonstrating to whomever you're talking to that you are not going to change. There's no desire in you to change. I even had a friend that would say that all the time. Well, this is just how I am. And I would have to just be looking at them like, yeah, let me listen. Let me listen slow. Let me listen fast, or let me listen slow. But either way, let me listen, because you're telling a lot without saying a whole bunch. I feel like sometimes people tell us where they are. And like Maya Angelou said, believe them the first time. I think we want better for them, and we want more better for them that they're not willing to have for themselves. And I had to learn that extremely hard lesson in some things that have happened to me in relationships that I've had. It's not a secret that I had went no contact with my family for a couple years. And there are some that I will open up and have conversations to now that I wouldn't have had back then. And then there are some where the door is closed, my friend. The door is closed. Now, I know people say that you should never harden your heart and that you should open up your heart to change, and you should open your heart to these different things. I am more than willing to do that. The problem is that most people, when they're set in their ways, a lot of times that wiggle room to change isn't for them. Now, I have done my changes that I feel that I need to do, and I'm continuously, which means this is a all day, every day, all year, all the things. I'm constantly checking myself. I'm constantly doing checks and balance. And be clear, I am fully aware that some things that I have said and done have been hurtful to other people. See, I don't have a problem when people don't entreat me. There was a family member that I had, and I got, obviously I ain't dropping names, but it was for, so they are a grandparent, and it was for their child. It was an event. And I had my child in my hand as I was fixing food like everybody else. You know how you go, the food is set out, you go to fix something. And this person made the comment of, oh, so how much you're going to eat? Let me just preface, I hadn't even gotten the food onto the plate. I grabbed the spoon and was going to put the food onto the plate. When she said that, I set that plate. I took the plate in the trash because obviously I had touched it. But I set that spoon down, packed up my baby. And we was out. When I tell you I have never seen that family member since then, I mean all that. When I say that I don't allow them to be on my social media, I mean that. When I say I have closed the door and barred it, I mean that. When I also say the fact that I will never step my feet into the home of this individual, I mean it. And I don't have to make a church announcement, and I don't have to go around telling everybody how hurt I am, and I don't have to make this bulletin board. But when I mean what I say what I mean, I close the door. Now, if you need to know what my zodiac sign is, I am a Taurus. And as a Taurus, and this works for me because not every Taurus is the same, but for me, I have such a great window of so much grace. I feel like as a Taurus, we are just grace. People hurt us, we take it on the chin, we get hurt, we don't even express it 9 times out of 10, or at least that's just me. I didn't even express half the pain that I ever went through, right? So you take on the chin, and you be the bigger person, and you show them that Christian love, because what would Jesus do? I need to remind people that although we want to be like him, and although we strive to be like him, we are not him. And I think I've had to remind a few people that this last couple of years, like, I need you to realize, sweetie, that I am not the Lord. I am not the Lord. So I'm getting there. I'm trying to work there. I'm trying to get my life together. I'm trying to treat people right. I'm trying to live beyond church buildings. Hello, because we know scripture and we know church, but we don't know how to treat people and talk to people. I'm trying to be that. I'm trying to get myself together and get my life right with the Lord. But I'm not there yet. So I don't allow people to push that, you know, you need to be and you got to do. What would Jesus do? I don't know. I'm still learning. However, I get to the point as a Taurus that once I get to the point where I've about had enough, when we've gotten to the point where we just had enough and we tag out, Tauruses will tag out and they won't look back. And this is why I had to go to therapy. A lot of this is why I had to go to therapy, amongst all the other things like postpartum and depression and anxiety, all the things that I openly talk about. See, this is why I love me. And this is not about me, but I do love me. And I love me because a lot of people will tell a lie about something that you said or something that you did. But see, I'm the type of person, this is how my mama taught me. She said, you know, my mama was clear. She would say things like, you tell it, that way nobody else can tell it. Because if you tell your story, if you tell it, then nobody can tell it and bring a sting. There are people who will hold things against you and will dangle over your head that they know something about your past, or they know you back when you wasn't right. Or they'll say things like, I remember when you didn't even know how to tie your shoes. Okay, Miss Ma'am. Okay. However, I do know how to tie my shoes now. I am making a difference now. I am trying to change my life. And what you won't do is you won't dangle it over my head as some type of get back, right? We're not going to use this as bait. We're not going to use this as a way to control. So I'll tell on me before I let somebody else tell it. And that's just the way that I was raised. Like, you don't give people that much power over you to just feel like they can walk all over you because they feel like they know something or they knew you back when. You walk in your power. One thing I can say about my mom, she was always direct. She might have been a little too direct for a lot of folks. I'm just going to say that very much publicly because she knows it. She was a lot stronger for folks who just couldn't take that. But one thing I gathered from her was that I will gather you either to your face. Well, most likely to your face. I ain't got no problem with that. But the bigger issue is that I am not going to allow you to dismiss me because you don't like something that you thought you knew from me from back in the day. Right? So I have family members that be like, well, I don't remember. Okay, ma'am. I am grown. with three children and a husband, clearly, if I was still operating my life in the same way that I did when I was in my 20s, or the same way I did when I was a teenager, my life would be on Helter Skelter right about now. Because I'm going to keep it honest. In my 20s, I was supposed to be on Helter Skelter. Let's keep it real. And in my teens, I was supposed to be on Helter Skelter. Amazingly, a lot of the changes that I made in my personal life happened when I was 28. Because guess what? I had my baby at 28. My oldest was at 28. All right. And a lot of changes that took place because I went into therapy almost immediately took place around that same time. So anybody dangling the carrot over my head about some decisions that was made in my 20s, please stop playing with me. And 90% of the time when people dangle the carrot over your head about some mess that I did when I was in my 20s, I need you to understand that there's some skeletons in your closet that you might want to keep quiet, because I'm not going to let nobody play me out in these streets, okay? I say all that to say, because we're talking about this whole no contact and this Easter holiday, is this. Stop sitting your raggedy feet. Yes, your raggedy feet, because they're raggedy if you're trying to figure out a way how to control what you feel and how to control the reality of the situation just for a chicken wing, right? Stop sliding your feet up under these people's table. I've said this before, even for Christmas. I said the same thing for Thanksgiving. And now I'm saying this to you again for Easter. Stop sliding your feet underneath these tables of folks that don't mean you well. I don't even know how you allow people to serve you food knowing that they don't like you. Like, maybe it's just paranoia. Maybe it's just something, but I ain't not about to do all that, because that's not for me, okay? So stop sliding your feet underneath people's table knowing that they have a disdain for you, because you're not going to get nothing from that. There's no good that's going to come from that. The only thing that's going to come from that is a level of frustration that is going to drive you crazy based upon the fact that you know. Okay, so this Easter, go ahead and cook you some food. Go ahead and go out to eat for dinner. I'll even drop a podcast or a blog that has some, if you're in the Philadelphia area, I got a couple of places you can go eat at. Listen, I would rather go and pull up to Taco Bell, and if I ain't ate Taco Bell, and I don't even know how long, because if I'm gonna eat at Taco Bell, I'm just gonna go to Chipotle, because Chipotle is life. But whatever you choose, pull up to your favorite restaurant and just go ahead and get you some takeout before I sit my feet underneath a table of people who don't care about me. Right? Just to say we gathered. And there's an issue with other people. They get so mad when you just decide to pull yourself away. When you decide to separate yourself, they make the biggest reflection about them. And maybe it is about them, but most of for me, I'll speak for myself because I know me well. When I separated myself initially, it was because of them, right? I'm going to show them. Da, da, da. One thing I learned in therapy was the burst of the bubble. You may have came in the door because of them, but when you walk out the door, it's because of you. Let me repeat that one more time. When I came in the door, it was about them, but when I walked out that door, it was about me, which means that I may have come in with that decision about how I couldn't stand how they treated me, and how dare they, and how dare they. I started using I statements versus the they statements. They did, what they said, what she did, what he said. And let me tell you how hard that is to do it. I didn't wake up one day, take one therapy session and be like, I'm cured. God bless. Like, no, there are going to be times when you play this little hopscotch with your emotions. And sometimes you got to go back. Like, I'm in therapy now. And there's been times when I've recorded this podcast and I say, oh no, I'm not in therapy right now. But let me tell you, when you feel like you need it, go ahead and jump on into it. Don't feel like I should be better than this. I should be past this. No, go dip your baby toe back into the pool and go ahead and get the help that you need, because we are human. Healing is not linear. So you're going to go up and down in the way that you feel. And so while I am feeling in the midst of down, I've decided to take care of me and go into therapy. I've been doing it for a couple of weeks now. More than 6 weeks. But nonetheless, the joy that I'm getting back to my I statements, where I take the blame off of what somebody else did. Let me tell you something. I probably am going to write a book about it. I was born to a single mother where my father, my biological father, didn't even care two snaps of a circle about me. His family lives right now across the street from my grandparents' house. He could see me at any given time. And I mean any given time, and has driven past me and knew that I was there and never once stopped. It wouldn't even have cost him no extra gas. And when I say across the street, I'm literally talking about he could backflip from my grandmama's house, from his family's house to mine, and didn't stop. So when you wake up and you realize, man, I was born in this mess where, you know, you're born to a single mom. She's struggling, trying to do what she needed to do. You got this man who done impregnated her. They done did their thing. And now he's living off, footloose and fancy free. But in spite of all these different challenges, and I've had many, right? Just different challenges from birth, just challenges, challenges, challenges. I learned to take those I statements and say, what am I going to do about my life? Yes, these things happened. All you 100% happened. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to say about that? Because how I look at myself in the mirror cannot be about what they see. It can't be about what they said. Now, I'm going to take what they said. Because one thing I did learn in therapy, everybody ain't telling the same lie. My mama taught me that one. But in therapy, I learned, let's take what they said and let's see what the truth is behind that. Because regardless of who you don't like, if they're telling you something that's real, go ahead and take a step back. Maybe dissect the fact that it's them because you just don't like them and learn to take the meat from the bone. Right? And you eating chicken, you take that meat up off that bone. You need to take the meat off the bone. Just because you don't like the person who cooked it don't mean that the message ain't real. So I had to do two things. One, make my I statements about what it is that I needed to do for myself to become a better person. How could I be a better person, first of all? Then I said to myself, how can I be a better mother? How can I be a better wife? But mostly, how can I be a better person? Because I cannot allow the things that were done, things that were said, to dictate the way my life can go or the way that my life can heal. So I started to take the I statements. Then let me see what they said. Okay, they said, you was liar. You was this, you was that. Okay, well, were you lying? Okay, yeah, so you was lying. So of course they're going to see you as a liar. Well, was you cheating on things? Were you cheating on people? So yeah, they, of course you out here cheating. So they're going to see you as a cheater. Was you backbite? All these things. Okay, so let's call a spade a spade. So now I've dealt with me. I'm dealing with the I statements. I've dealt with the things that I've contributed to why they see me the way they see me. And now I got to say, okay, let's say that they never, for whatever reason, never see me as anything differently. Am I going to continuously walk in the bad habits just because they didn't give me my props for it? Like if you're looking for people to say, oh my God, you've definitely changed, girl. You done come a long way. Look at you now. You look good. If you are still looking for that, I promise you, you are going to live by that. That means you aren't going to ever be able to excel until you hear somebody pat you on the back and say you're all right. I just want to serve notice that life is lifing for everybody and don't nobody have time to encourage you to that extent. The best encouragement that you're going to get is yourself in the mirror when you do your affirmations every day and say, I am worthy of this life that I am building. I am worthy of this life that I am building, which means you are doing the work every day, showing up, taking, you know, accountability. You're doing the things that you need to be doing, and you can't wait for the amen corner to be in your, and to be on your, in your, in your, in your way. You can't wait for that. You're waiting for everybody to validate you. It's not going to happen. Sometimes folks don't even see you because they're working on their own stuff. If somebody's lost their job, I guarantee you they don't care nothing about what you got going on. I can almost guarantee it, right? Somebody in their family has passed. I guarantee you their focus isn't on you. When they see you, they see you. They're like, all right, but they're not going home and taking you home with them. Okay, in their mind. So I need you to get to the point where, again, as hard as it is, and this takes therapy for me, you may use whatever tool that you use. Some people, like I also use this one tool called circles. And with circles, genuinely, it allows me to be able to be clear about the things that I'm stressing about or I'm going through. So you go in, you select the different topics that you know you have going on your plate, and then you can go in and listen. It's almost like Clubhouse, but for mental health and wellness. And so I can go in and have people that are dealing with the same thing, but we have somebody who is a professional to say, hey, this is how you start to look at this, and maybe you should do this activity and all these different things. It's like basically almost like group therapy. It literally is like group therapy. You can choose to speak up or you can choose to be quiet and just listen. It's up to you. You get to control all the things. But you can use whatever tool you need to use. But whatever tool you use, the goal is to be better for you. Like my kids benefit as me being their mom because I'm a better person. And I'm a better me. My kids is what literally saved me. My daughter, my oldest, I give her all credit because her birth rebirthed something in me. Now I had to, you know, a couple of months while she was born, I think up into the first year, I had to go through a couple of things. But after a while, you know, you start taking accountability because how can I love her and I can't love me right? Right? How can I show her love and I'm not showing myself that type of love? And then with my son, I have two daughters and a son. Like, how can I demonstrate love? How can I demonstrate understanding and compassion? How can I be a listening ear to not be judgmental to my kids when I'm judging myself every 2.3 seconds? I'm talking bad about myself. Oh, girl, you don't look good in that skirt. Oh, child, you too big on them arms. Like, how can I do that? How can I show them if I can't do it for myself? So every day I get up, and I'm not telling you that it works out great. There are some days where I'm just like, to hell with these people. And there are some days where I'm like, to hell with myself, because I am struggling every single day, just like every last one of you that are listening. So don't think that I've made it, child. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't even be here. I have not made it. I'm still striving. But what I will not do is I will not wait for the applause of the audience that doesn't matter. I won't wait for it. I'm not going to do that, because that's not going to serve me. Some of my fondest memories for Easter, again, wearing them puffy dresses with the frills and all the things on it, them patent leather shoes that you'll scuff up. As soon as you walk, you don't even have to go outside. As soon as you came down the steps, they scuffed up. And my mom would be like, why are you tearing them shoes up? I just paid for them shoes. Those were my fondest memories. My parents making sure that we had Easter baskets, because I grew up in one of those churches where they were like, it's not about the clothes and Easter's not about the Easter bunny. You're 1000% correct. It's not, right? But I'm not going to give up a chance to eat some candy and chocolate, right? And there was some folks that went to my church, my old church, where they was just so deep, like they just was like, I refuse to buy candy because I'm not gonna deal with this pagan holiday. I'm like, you do realize all these holidays is pagan, right? Like, I just take a step back and just learn your research, your history, that is all pagan, right? And so, you know, I just be looking at the side eye with them, because their kids would be mad miserable. And I'm hoping that they got an Easter basket. Like, I hope in every kid that I went to in that church, I hope you now have the best Easter basket for you. And I say that because they can hear me. They would know. They'd be like, you know what? You're right. I hope you have the best Easter basket. One thing I love about holidays is that I just love making sure that my kids get. I love watching their faces. I love the memories. I love creating. And if anybody knows me, they know my kids gonna be good to go come Easter morning. And my nieces too. Like, I am that aunt and I am that mom. And I'm like all about the creating the memories and taking pictures with my kids. One thing I wish my mom did more, and I know I have an understanding of why she didn't do it growing up, but I wish she would have taken more pictures, because as my mom gets older and I'm looking at her now, let me tell you, my mom is in her 60s. She's a beautiful 60-year-old woman, right? And she's young child. That's young in my book. Like, that's still life to be lived. But as she gets older, like, I look and I'm like, you know, I don't have pictures of her like in my recent years. So I got to take more pictures with her and the kids and my dad, same thing. And because as they get older, as their parents get older and my grandparents get older, you know that it's an indication that life is a beautiful thing. And as they still here and doing their beautiful thing and living and doing all the wonderful things that must be done, it's still in the back of your mind that at one point they're not going to be here. And so I don't want to lose on the memories, because a lot of times the only thing we will have is our memories, right? And you'll have pictures for a while until you lose them, but you just have memories. So any parent, if you are a new parent, upcoming parent, or a parent, an old school parent, old school auntie, and you're like, oh, I don't want to take pictures because I don't feel like I look a certain way, I need you to hear me very clearly. Your body is going to change 2011 times. But the way that your kids look at you and see you as you get older, and God forbid it's time for you to leave this earth, you got to leave them with some beautiful memories. You got to leave them with the fact that you were willing to just be vulnerable in front of them. I don't know if I talked about this. I thought I did in another podcast episode. My youngest was invited to an ice skating party. And let me just tell you, ice skating is not, and I mean absolutely not, one of my favorite things. I actually do like regular skating. I just pretend like I can't, but I can skate actually really well, right? Regular skating. But when it comes to ice skating, my ankles said hell to the no. The way my ankles are set up, no, I cannot stand ice skating. It's not one of my favorites. I don't even sign myself up for it. But I took her to this birthday party. Obviously, I stayed with her. And all of her friends, some of them were more advanced in their ice skating and some were not. But I saw the look on my daughter's face that she just was not feeling confident. As a mom, I got on them skates and we got one of them little pushing little, they're like little handicap things. Like, you know, you kind of hold on to them like little walkers, ice walkers. And I got on there with her. And I told her, I said, I'm going to stay on here with you until you feel confident. And when you're ready, you let me know. It only took one time, and glory to God, because the way my ankles was doing a thing. But I didn't want her to think that because I'm her mom, that I would just sit on the sidelines, see that she needed me and not come to her aid, and also not show her that even when you're scared, even when you don't like something, even when, well, not when you don't like something, if you don't like something, don't do it. But when you're scared and you feel less confident, that you can try anything at least once. When I tell you she went around that thing, we went together. I mean, we was looking like two grannies, like how slow we were going, but we went around. After we got around that first time and she got a little more comfortable, she still kept the ice walker, but the smile on her face, the fact that she saw that I would stand up and stand with her, that made me feel good. Because there's so many times when I was like just having my kids where, again, I was going through so many things with the postpartum and so many different things. I felt like I just wasn't engaging as I should have been, although I did engage a lot. But I want to be present. Like, I want to be a present parent. I don't want my kids to be like, yeah, you know, mom, that wasn't her. She didn't want to do certain things. Like, I don't want my kids to say that. So I'm present. And I'm just telling you that that gave me the greatest joy. It blessed me. And all I did was go around once. But it wasn't all that I did. I provided comfort. I was there to help her get stronger, show her she could do it. And she knew I didn't want to do it. But I smiled and we laughed and we talked and I let her know, listen, you can do this. And I just encouraged her all the way around. As we got closer to where the opening was, she said, I got it. I said, let me say a prayer for you, prayer with you real quick. And so we said a prayer and then she just went about her day. Her whole day was made. She came back talking about how mom got on the ice skates and mom skated with me. And that just did my soul so much good. So I'm telling you, if you're listening, if you're an auntie, if you're a cousin, if you're any of those things, showing up and being present is such a beautiful gift that kids deserve that. And again, you don't know how confident you might be making your own child, your cousin, your niece, your nephew, all these different things. So I encourage all those things. As I get done with this episode and wrap this up so we can continue on with our day, I'm so grateful for you listening. I just want to keep saying, because you guys are amazing, amazing listeners. I want you to have whatever weekend that you choose to have. If you choose to go to church, hey, get on in there and sing your songs and praise and leave. Do all the things that you're doing. If that's not your thing and you just want a self-care Sunday for Easter, listen, I got some suggestions in the blog post. Go ahead and read it. It'll give you some suggestions about how you can have the most amazing Easter. It could start off with going to get yourself some flowers the day before, cleaning up your space, lighting up some candles when you wake up, sleeping in a little, because let me tell you the power of sleep. Like, don't think that sleep can't be a self-care, because it can. But just doing things that make you feel like your cup is full, like not going back to work on Monday and saying, oh, I ain't do nothing. And if nothing is what you want to do, then, hey, I didn't do nothing, but I had a great time doing that. But I'm saying to you, sometimes we waste our weekends because we have so many errands. I know I'm one. I go to Target, do the Target run, go do the grocery store run, clean the house, meal prep, and get the clothes together. That's usually how my weekend goes, on top of media events if I have them. And what I've learned is to make sure that my cup feels full. Sometimes I've actually been like decreasing my coffee intake. And so I've been drinking a lot more tea. But on Sundays, I like to drink like a real cup, like not a cup to go, not a cup in the car because I'm on my way somewhere else, but just sit with a good cup and just one of my favorite mugs, which I'm a mug person. So listen, my birthday is coming up May 10th and all my friends be like, what do you want, girl? Get me a cup. Get me a mug that looks like it's like the most weirdest mug, the most colorfulest mug. I want all those things, right? Give me a mug. I love flowers. You can give me some flowers too. I love that. But I say all this to say this. My Sundays, I like to get one of my favorite cups. I try to rotate them through and drink that coffee and take it a little slow, even if it's for 15 minutes, because sometimes that's all I have. But I will use and utilize that time. I want you to have the most amazing weekend. I want you to find one activity that you love for yourself, that you love. Because listen, nothing is worse than giving of your time to everything and everybody and not having enough for yourself. Let's not do that. I wish you well this weekend. I wish you an amazing, happy Easter joy for those who celebrate it. I never requested a basket from my husband, but I do always ask for like Sunday, like Easter flowers. Other than that, I'll be the one making all the baskets and doing all the things and just having joy. And I can't wait for therapy next week. I've already had therapy this week, but I can't wait for next week. Again, I just look forward to making sure that I'm doing all the things to just make sure that I can heal and heal in the way that makes sense for me. And again, that will demonstrate the love that I have, one, for myself and for my family and those who are around me, because it's not fair to just give everybody the worst of you and have the ability to do better, but just choose not to because of whatever your reasons are. I choose to give the people around me the best of me. I choose to give myself the best of myself to myself because I am worthy and deserving of all the things. So we're going to end the podcast right there. Put a pin in it because we're going to be back next week. And you already know we're going to be back with some more Diddy crap. I don't understand. This stuff is getting crazy out here in these internet streets. So just stay tuned. Keep checking all the internets. You can't miss it. I mean, if you're on TikTok, if you're on Twitter, if you're on all these things, follow me. Instagram, Toy Time Blog. It's ToyTimeBlog. Make sure you follow the blog itself at toytime.org. Spelled the same way. ToyTime.org. ToyTime.org is the website. I love you for following me. I love you for listening. And let me just say about followers. I don't really consider you guys followers. I feel like we're in a community of people who want to do better, a community of people that recognize that they're going to have good and bad days with their mental health. And they are trying to find best ways to self-care, to take care of themselves, to find new skills that they can add to their life, to make their life that much better. That's the community that I want. That's the community that I'm building. People that can say to me, like people will talk to me and they see me, they'll be like, you know, I was struggling with this. It's okay to talk to me. I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm not a licensed therapist, and I'll tell you that right now, but I can only talk about what my experiences are, and that's what I've always made clear. But I can find you a resource. I bet you I can find you a resource if you need it. That's one thing that I will do. I will advocate the heck for all of us in the mental health space. Anytime I've ever met with Governor Shapiro, for those who don't know, I have met with him and talked with him and have access to his team. If there's something that's going on, there's something that is necessary, there's something that is needful, I'm get it. If there's a resource that I can pull, I'm going to find it. When I get into the table, I ain't coming there just so I can look cute, although I will make sure I look decent, but I'm coming there to see what we can get for all the rest of us. Like, that's always been my thing. Like, if it's not about just me, but if we all eat, we all going to eat well. Okay. Have the most amazing Easter. Good Friday to all the people who are referencing it. I remember one last thing. I remember growing up in church and had to do like the 12 last words or the 7 last words. I think it was 12 last. I don't remember how many last words. Don't come for me, my little church folks. Don't come for me. But whatever it was, every Friday night or usually in noon service or like the night service, we'd have a list of people who would come and preach these last words. And so I just remember that. Just thought about that as I was trying to, you know, get us up out of here. So have a good weekend. I love you for listening. Thank you for supporting. If you know somebody who needs to listen to this episode or they can gather something from this episode, please share it. It's not really about, I mean, I do help, thankful for the helping of the numbers, but it's more about because this message needs to be out there. There's so many people that when I speak so candidly like this, they're like, oh my God, you just seem so normal. I don't know what normal is. I don't even know if I'm normal, but what I can say is that I'm very open about my own decisions about how I handle my mental health. I'm always open about the mistakes that have been made, and I'm open about ways to fix it. Again, I can't guarantee you that the things that I've done will fix or help you, but what I do hope that it does, I hope that it motivates you to find the way that works best for you, always. Okay, have the best weekend. Happy Easter. Don't eat too much chocolate. My kids try to take chocolate from me because I found out as I got older, I'm like almost allergic to it, but I'm still going to eat it, period. It ain't closing up my throat, so we going to eat it. Happy Easter. I love seeing all your beautiful pictures of the children. My kids, we probably just going to have t-shirts and jeans because that's what we're doing. And that's just it. But we're going to have the most amazing time and we're going to look good while we do it. Have a great weekend. Love you. Happy Easter. Good Friday. All the things. See you next week for Conversations with Toy.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.